the Game Nashville Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet. This is Braden and Fitz with Braden Gall and Jason Fitz
on ESPN
102.5 The Game.
He's Braden Gall. I'm Jason Fitz. Julian Council producing, Windy City intern back there pressing buttons on a computer, and I'm sure she's doing a great job of it. It's Braden and Fitz, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Happy Monday, everybody. And you know what? As you're driving in today and you're feeling the Monday morning blues, I want you to remember something. I want you to remember something important, guys. Yesterday was the last Sunday for the rest of the year where you turn around and say that there's not some sort of Titan game action you can talk about. Right? That was it. I mean, the Titans will start preseason.
That gives me all the good warm feels.
Yeah, just a few days. So you're done. Like, your time of sitting here saying, oh, where's football, is over. So happy joy. Feel free to do a little safe car wiggle. Like, just wiggle around.
Car wiggle.
Yeah, yeah, because you don't want to dance around. That requires taking your hands off the wheel. Not safe. A wiggle in the chair. Yeah, I'm doing it right now, like you can see it on radio.
Can I make another point?
Yes.
On that, a piggyback. Piggyback, if you will. We are 3 weeks. We'll wake up in 3 weeks from today. Just 3 weeks. I believe that's 21 days from today, and we will be breaking down a college football weekend.
Ooh.
There'll be college football games on a Monday to talk about in 3 weeks.
And we are going to we're going to do some really cool things over the course of the fall. Got some big guests we'll be announcing soon that'll be joining us and hanging out with us. Also, we're going to have some cool segments that you can start to sort of set your clock by and get excited about that will get you caught up on all the things happening in the SEC, all the things happening in the top 25, all the things happening around the NFL. Very, very exciting things coming this fall for Braden and Fitz as we start. We are crashing close to our 1 year anniversary. By the way,
ooh, what are we gonna do for that?
Cake and ice cream
studio. No, more than that.
Cake, ice cream, balloons in studio.
No, we need like a
cake.
We should have an 8 and 8 parade.
A Christmas gram.
A Christmas gram for
What's
our one-year anniversary.
Gram? I want one. I was just going with some elf.
I think we need to do something bigger than that.
I think we should, you know, it's September 6th, I think, was the first show, if memory serves me correct. So we need to, like, plan a...
I think that'll be, like, a Wednesday, so we can't really party on a Wednesday, can we?
Oh, we can.
You think so?
Yeah, I think that if we party on a Wednesday with our listeners, we can all celebrate the next morning... like with it, everybody will feel it. Julian, would you be up for a late night of partying to celebrate our 1 year birthday?
No.
What if we did Sunday night on before Labor Day at like a what's the games that Texas A&M UCLA I believe is one of them.
I'll be in Michigan.
You can't celebrate your birthday not on your birthday.
My daughter will not. We're having a 1 year birthday party for my daughter. Not there. Not very long after our 1 year anniversary. On a weekend the day before her birthday.
Yeah, but she's one. She doesn't know.
And by the way,
she's 14, do you get to do that? No, probably not.
Mm-hmm. And that's because I'll be spending the entire month celebrating her birthday. But I think listen, this is one thing that 1 year old birthday parties are purely for us, the parents,
right,
and all the other parents. It's really an excuse for us to get together, barbecue, and drink beer.
That's fair.
In honor of my one-year-old.
I will tell you, one of the guys I toured with did this at birthdays and Christmas. We've talked about this before. It's my advice as a non-parent. You take some of those presents, and you know, because let's face it, Maren's going to get more presents than she can handle. You take some of them, and you just hold them back.
Hold on to them.
You hold them back, and you give them to her again at Christmas. She won't have any idea. Saves you so much money.
It's pretty sneaky good.
I am frugal.
Could you go next year, too, like second year birthday? Look what they got you.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think you could probably get 3 years out of it before they're like, Dad, I recognize this doll. So
this doll is so old. This doll is so 2017, Dad.
Speaking of frugal, we were just talking about Vandy and the business opportunity to go out, buy your season tickets to Vandy, and then if you sell the Bama game, you're probably going to end up making money on your season tickets. But it's funny, we talk about it because it makes so much sense and because we just accept that. If Titans fans were doing the same thing, though,
ooh,
I mean, realistically, yeah, yeah, if you went out today and you're like, all right, I'm going to buy my season tickets for the Titans, and then I'm going to sell week one against the Raiders because that's going to be a hot ticket and I can make a bunch of that money back. Oh, we would be destroying that fan base, wouldn't we?
Well, and it happened last year. I mean, listen, certainly we did not expect 9-7. We were going to throw a parade. In fact, we have to do it tomorrow. now that I think about it, because tomorrow is October.
Tomorrow's August 8th.
But which would be a Jeff Fisher day. Happy Jeff Fisher day, right? Tomorrow, 8 and 8.
Speaking of guys who are frauds like Jay Cutler.
Thanks for listening, Jeff. No.
We're very hard. There's a lot of good and bad with Jeff Fisher. We're very hard on all the great years from Fisher because of the bad years. But rightly so. He had a lot of bad years. But I totally forgot what I was talking about because the 8 and 8 parade. The tickets for last year. We did not expect the Titans to be as good as they were last year. So I don't think at the beginning of the season, if you were a season ticket holder, you sold tickets to Browns, Raiders, Broncos, and Packers fans, right? Four big fan bases that all come to town and travel very well. I don't think anybody would be super upset with you about that. But as we were watching the season unfold, the team was clearly better than we thought, and we're looking at the stadium still fill up with other teams' fans all season long. I mean, the Packers fans outnumbered the Titans fans, I think, at that game. And, you know, unfortunately, my whole family was one of the problems. But Broncos fans and Browns fans, Raiders fans, all throughout the course of the year, there were a lot of people from other teams. Now, that's always been the case here at this stadium. Even when the team was good, that was the case. So I don't know how much we kill Titans fans for it. But I think this year, it'll be interesting to see the splits. How many fans of other teams are showing up? Because Nashville's still always going to be destination, no matter how good the Titans are, for other fans to travel to, right? Like, if you're a fan of what Seattle plays here, what, like week 3?
Yep.
Is that right? If I live in Seattle and I'm like, which game am I going to go to? Well, Nashville looks like a great game, and it looks like a good team. So that's a great place to go to a game. But would we destroy and hammer season ticket holders? And I think you're right. I think it's a different level of expectation. For Vanderbilt fans, we think it's okay. For Titans fans, we're sort of like, hey, what the hell are you doing? Why isn't this a better atmosphere at Nissan Stadium?
Yeah, and I think that's sort of what struck me in the conversation, is that the different standard that we would hold to. But at the same time, I will say this. I think this year is going to be better at a few different spots. Number one, as I've said before, this is the third straight year that the Raiders are playing the Titans. While there are in Nashville, while there are a group of Raiders fans that are probably like, oh, I love our annual trip to Nashville, as happened in the early 2000s when they were both good, I think that for the most part, that fan base, like
done with it.
And I know for a fact they pick one game every year that is their away game of choice. Last year, it was Nashville. This year, it is not. So I think that's part of it. You mentioned Seattle. I would expect that game to be a tougher ticket because of the fact that, like you said, Seattle, it's not like Seattle plays here every year. So I think that in that sense, that one could be a better ticket. I would like to think that just the general excitement is such in the beginning of the year that you're going to see more Titans fans. I just think it's interesting. Part of it has to do with the expectations. We talk nonstop about the expectations for Vandy, but just like we hold Vandy to a different standard, we also hold Vanderbilt fans to a different standard. I mean, it just is what it is.
That's okay, though, right?
Yeah, like I totally think so.
Yeah, I think it's okay. And we've talked ad nauseum about what does the Vanderbilt administration want to be, right? Like, they're okay being a 6-6 team with a stadium that's 35, 38, 39,000 people that doesn't always sell out, that sells a lot of home tickets to other teams. And I always say this about Vanderbilt games. There's 20,000 Vanderbilt fans that show up, and then 10,000 people that live in Nashville that root for other teams 7 out of 8 games.
Right.
And then when their team shows up this year, Georgia, Alabama, Kentucky, and Missouri, right, that they switch colors. And I'm one of them. I will root for Vanderbilt. I'll pull for Vanderbilt. I'll go to Vanderbilt games, and I'll root for Vanderbilt until my alma mater shows up, and then I'm wearing a different color.
Right.
Unfortunately, that didn't work out last year. But that's what happens. Georgia. How many Georgia fans do we have in Nashville? A ton. And they go to Vanderbilt games, and they root for Vanderbilt until Georgia comes to town, and then they switch their colors. And then there's the other 10,000 that, if it sells out, are purely road fans. Like, Tuscaloosa, Alabama will bring a lot of people to town for the Alabama game, and that might actually lead to a sellout in that game. That's not necessarily the way it works in the Titans Stadium. So I think we've got a level of expectation for Vanderbilt that's appropriate. I think the Titans, unfortunately, don't have that expectation yet, but it needs to be there. That's my biggest issue with Nissan Stadium and the Titans games in general, is that the fans haven't. Now, the team is responsible for some of this, too. They need to up their game on their game day situation. But the fans have to show up. The fans need to show up. If the Raiders game is not sold out, I would be offended as a football person. As just a fan of the game, I'll be offended by that.
I think the Seahawks are likely to have a large traveling fan base. I would also think, looking at the schedule, that the Bengals, I mean, Cincinnati is such a short drive.
Yeah.
That's a pretty easy one. Sonny and I have made that drive a million times.
And the Reds are on the radio.
Yeah, and the Reds are on the radio. And then the Ravens, you know, you've got Baltimore coming down here. That there's a rivalry aspect to
that's
that.
That should be a heated game.
I think,
and that should be one that the Titans fans should be proud to keep. That should be like, get the red out, get the purple out.
Yeah.
Like for the Predators and the Blackhawks, this should be the game when Baltimore comes to town that you go, absolutely not. I'm putting my foot down. I'm willing to spend what it takes to get tickets because we need to keep Ravens fans out of the stadium.
Yeah, I think.
And oh, by the way, you could be fighting for an AFC wild card.
We're going to see a lot about old generation of Titans fans and new generations of Titans fans in that game, because I think if you're like us and you were around the team in the very beginning, you still think about those Ravens teams, and they sort of, depending on your level of fandom for the Titans one way or the other, they either sort of make you chuckle or they make you like, I hate those Ravens teams. For a lot of reasons, from that era.
As do most people.
Tony Siragusa, late hitting Rich Gannon in the AFC playoffs.
People
still.
Don't forget.
Yeah, people don't forget. But I think that it'll be interesting to see how new fans and newer generation fans react to it. One thing I know is how you should react to Xfinity. You should react with sheer joy wherever you go, because nationwide hotspots eases the concern of connecting to Wi-Fi wherever you might possibly be. You're in the store, you look down, all of a sudden you're like, oh, I'm on Wi-Fi. You're traveling around the country, you look down, ooh, I'm on Wi-Fi. Why does that happen? Because they have nationwide hotspots all over the place. There's more than 15 million hotspots nationwide right now. 15 million nationwide hotspots for Xfinity. Compare that to AT&T that has about 30,000 hotspots, and it tells you which one is going to help you out more. And it's offered at no additional charge to all Xfinity mobile customers, as well as Xfinity internet customers who subscribe to packages that include speeds of 25 megabits or higher. All you have to do is download the Xfinity app, and then you can save Wi-Fi hotspots wherever you go, and you can save money on your wireless data plan. It's super easy to do. I'm no longer getting yelled at by the family for hogging all of the data because I'm connecting to Wi-Fi hotspots everywhere I go. It easily locates them. You can save them. You can get your favorites, and wherever you're going, bam, it just shows up for you. Got an offer that ends August 20th. Requires EcoBill, paperless billing, auto pay enrollment, and 1-year term agreement. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Here's what you need to do. Wi-Fi, Xfinity Wi-Fi delivers the fastest hotspots in the places you need them the most. So get started with Xfinity Internet for as low as $19.99 per month for 12 months. Call 1-800-XFINITY or visit Xfinity.com and do it right now. When we come back, it's time to overreact. It's time to get a little hype, maybe a little too hype, over the Titans just based on scrimmages. We'll tell you why. We'll do that next. Braden and Fitz, ESPN 102.5 The Game. He's Braden Gall. I'm Jason Fitz. I really expected some sort of like Dallas heavy, like country music heavy bump back music day for Julian Council after his weekend in Texas.
But I don't think I heard any country music while I was down there.
That's a fair point.
What kind of music did you hear?
Just all the trendy stuff.
A lot of Despacito.
I heard some St. Paul and the Broken Bones at this one place I was at Friday night. I was very happy. Coming here Thursday, by the way. Live on the Green.
I was going to say, I believe they got announced Live on the Green. It's going to be really good.
Are you going to see that?
Yeah.
Did you see any Live on the Green last year?
I didn't get here until December.
It is awesome. It is one of the cooler events, and they've done a great job with that. And it's gotten bigger and bigger every year for the last, what, 5-6 years?
You are not going to be worth a darn Friday morning, and I love that about
Friday's
you.
Friday's
going
to be a rough day because I think St. Paul's on from 9:30 to 11, probably longer. I got to be here in the morning. Then I have to drive 6 hours back home for the PGA Championship.
And it's not easy getting out of – that's the one thing with Live on the Green. It's hard to get out of Live on the Green if you don't have a parking – if you didn't pay for parking, like, right next to it.
Have you considered –
it's kind of tricky getting out of it.
Have you considered just coming straight to the station and just sleeping on the couch here?
Yeah, it's one of the many thoughts I have for Thursday night as far as the game plan.
That'd be fantastic. You know, if Julian – we should all just sort of sneak into the couch, like, in the middle of the night and just all – like, just disrupt him mid-sleep.
Like a code red?
Yeah, code red. So code red is sort of what people were screaming in a good way. It's that sort of jump up and down, oh, my God, oh, my God, over the scrimmage, overreaction from scrimmage. And it sort of I mentioned this the other day. It reminded me of when I was in high school, right outside of D.C., and in high school – they used to televise the Redskins-Steelers scrimmage every year. And it was pre-season when those two teams would scrimmage. And the entire community would watch this thing and they would completely overreact to every little thing from a scrimmage. And I felt like that's what happened, obviously, over the weekend. From the moments of Marcus Mariota runs in a touchdown and it means that, oh my God, glory be to God, his leg is healed and he can fly now.
And the coach literally forgot his brain.
Yeah, the coach. After and that. Actually, Mike Mularkey mentioned that afterwards talking about it. This is Mularkey talking about his joy for Mariota's touchdown run.
It was so good that I got so excited that I forgot to run the next play. So, yeah, we were supposed to have another goal line play. I went right into the two-point play. It was good to see him out, and the play executed so well.
I mean, even
Mularkey.
Lost
his mind.
I got the joy down in my heart. Where? Just from a touchdown run. That's where we are with scrimmages. Like, scrimmages will now create this sort of thing, the same overreaction to Taylor Lewan having an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. That's a first for me. I don't usually think of those as being a part of inter-team scrimmages. Interesting, I heard a coach on NFL Network over the weekend that was being asked about practices and whether or not you should practice with your own squad or with another squad. And the reason he prefers one squad practices for the most part is because you get to control the level of the level of passion in it. You get to control how hard the guys are going against each other, and sometimes when you practice against other teams, you don't have that same control. So, Taylor loses a little of that.
What's your theory on, you said this last week, your theory on, and you've talked to coaches about this, quarterbacks throwing interceptions in preseason?
I love it. I love all. I mean,
so, but synopsis of as to why you feel that way.
The theory being, a couple of quarterbacks have told me this. A couple of starting quarterbacks in the NFL have told me this in the last couple of years, that you should be throwing interceptions in preseason because you should be stretching out to see exactly what your wide receivers are capable of. So you should be taking chances. They should be making difficult catches in preseason because you want to see the full window of opportunity.
You want to find your limitations,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So could you argue then that the officiating in a Taylor Lewan-like situation is going to err on the side of, let's say, caution or quick whistle or quick flag to prove a point, to show, hey, I want my officials in preseason to be throwing that flag early so that Taylor Lewan and other people get that limitation. They understand that limitation sort of in real time. Would it make sense to throw the flag even earlier than when maybe it's not a penalty? Now, I'm not arguing about this one particular incident.
No, that would.
But I'm saying, as a general philosophy, wouldn't it make sense to throw it extra on holding or extra on pass interference or extra so that, you know, when you get into the game and you're trained then with a certain level of limitation and that helps you in the game? Is that a fair comparison?
Absolutely. And there are several teams that, above and beyond, the NFL officials visit every camp once during the course of camp by rule from the NFL to come in and explain any tweaks in the rules and what they're going to emphasize. But there are several teams that actually pay on top of that. They pay officials to come in and work practices just to set those standards, to get guys used to, I'm going to call holding every time I see holding, that sort of thing. I mean, that I think that makes some sense. Yeah, I could see that. And also, before we make a big deal about any sort of a penalty in camp, let's also remember that these guys haven't played an actual other opponent. This is about the time in every camp you start to see camp fights.
Chippy.
That there is something there. I mean, they need to go out and hit. You are a undefeated champion amateur boxer. And
this is true.
And as much as you might go in as a champion undefeated amateur boxer and you might see the same guy sparring every day, there's a point where you need to see somebody else at some point just to get some of the rage worked out, you know?
So, yeah, especially the guy that was so much better than me that kept beating me every time.
Right.
And I sparred with him every single time and I was so tired of it. But you know what it did? I stomped my opponent because the guy I sparred with was way better. It made me better. No, I your point is valid. This is where you hear the phrase on hard knocks. I need to hit somebody else. Mm-hmm. Like, we need to hit somebody in a different uniform. Like, that's what happens in football camp. That's just the way it goes. Even in high school, you know, when Franklin would go train down at Baylor or whatever in Chattanooga, like, you couldn't wait to get down there because it was four different teams and you were no longer hitting your own team.
Well, and I mean, Julian Edelman got kicked out of practice for the Patriots the other day. Does that mean that suddenly he's out of control and there's a problem?
Nope, still very handsome.
But this is what we do. Now, I will say the one thing you can look at and maybe not overreact to is when you see guys when you see guys going out doing physical special things, and I think that's part of why Mariota running into the end zone gets such a great reaction, because you're seeing, hey, he's got the wheels, he can go out and do it. And in fairness, Raiders fans reacted the same way to Derek Carr getting loose in practice the other day and running for 20 yards. Everybody's like, oh my God, the leg is fine.
And that's not even what he does.
I mean, that I think that there's an element of that that you look at and say, okay, I understand why you react to that. The other thing that I understand why we react to is finally getting to see Adoree Jackson really makes him, you know, shake and bake. That's what we, maybe this time I'm shaking and you're baked, but either way, shake and bake.
That just happened. I think Adoree Jackson is it's one of those things where it's hard to explain the difference between overreacting and just seeing what's real.
Right.
Does that
right.
make sense? Like it's hard to over like it, there's some things are over. Oh my God, Corey Davis looks amazing. Oh my God, Derrick Henry's never missed a block. Like, that's overreacting to stuff. But then if you say, man, Derrick Henry glides so well at his size, that's just reality. That's just truth. Adoree Jackson is going to be a special, special teamer.
Yeah.
He is an extremely talented return man and very, very dangerous when the ball's in his hands, whether it's on an interception return, fumble return, or even an offensive play or two, which I would not be surprised to see. Again, we like to believe we were very early as a show unit on Adoree Jackson. He was an elite-level player. I want to say Crenshaw high, but I'm not sure on that. Five-star recruit coming out of high school. Big-time playmaker right away at USC in special teams and on offense and on defense. Listen, I know he's a little undersized, but the guy is confident. He is polished. He works his tail off and is an explosive athlete, extremely dynamic. So it's not overreacting to say – I think the special teams are what could give the Tennessee Titans the division championship. If it gives them one extra game or two extra games, I mean, not even two, just one extra win because of special teams, which are so dramatically improved because John Robinson addressed them very specifically in the offseason, that could be the difference between winning the division and not. And that could be Adoree Jackson's one big play. That could, if he has one Will Fuller moment where he beats the Texans on one punt return, which is what happened last year, all of a sudden you win the division. And that's it. That's all it may take. And I think that you can't overlook how important special teams are going to be to this team.
The division difference, we saw this last year in almost the exact same way. And I keep making the comparison only in play on the field. Let me stress that. Only in impact on the field. I will firmly believe that Tyreek Hill last year is the reason that the Chiefs won the AFC West. He won several games for them in his ability to score, in his ability to flip field position, and in his ability to sort of change the way everybody had to defend him on special teams.
He made Alex Smith a deep passer.
Yeah, I mean, the great Alex Smith, Julian Council's favorite Alex Smith.
Put some respect on his name.
Put respect.
How do I do that? I'm honestly asking, how do I... Like
you just say
you swallow your pride and put some respect on that name.
So instead of saying like he actually turned Alex Smith into a deep passer, it needs to be more like he really brought out the best in the wonderful and amazing Alex Smith.
More so, Alex Smith brought the best in him.
I will say this: I've learned if there's anything I've learned from Sports Nation on Marcellus Wiley and how he speaks, if you just say the word respect after a name, or if you say respect after anyone's comment, that's sort of the new version of like bless your heart sort of thing. Like you can say, or with all due respect, that's what that is. So it's like if you say he turned Alex Smith respect into a deep passer, you can say whatever you want.
Okay.
That's the new
rule.
It's
like the second Talladega Nights reference in one segment. Keep in mind, I just say with all due respect, so I can pretty much say whatever I want now.
Well, you can say whatever you want next about some new jerseys, because we saw them for the Preds. We've been talking about them for the Titans. What did you think of the Preds away jerseys? They are out, and Braden and I sort of differ a little bit on this one. So we'll tell you why. Next up, Braden and Fitz, ESPN 102.5 The Game. I'm a Scatman. He's Braden Gall. I'm Jason Fitz, Julian Council producing. Hey, guys, are you looking for a job? If you are, dress in your best professional clothes, bring resumes, visit our Nashville Career Fair this Thursday from 11 till 2 at the Nashville Airport Marriott. You'll have an opportunity to meet top employers and to interview for several positions during the course of the day. Don't wait for someone to call you. Visit nationalcareerfairs.com. Sign up today. Get out there and do that. Great opportunity to put your best foot forward and get yourself a new opportunity. So really excited for everybody on that one. Looks like just don't want you guys to not know this yet. Tom Waddle going to join us in just a little bit. So we'll get some thoughts from Tom Waddle on all things.
Chicago intern's
favorite.
How's Chicago
intern doing?
Yeah. She's freaking out.
Is she okay?
No.
Okay.
She's not going to be all right.
Tom Waddle's friend of the show, going to be joining us in just a little bit. Always does great stuff. We'll get his thoughts on all things Titans, all things NFL, and see if he's in love with the Cutler signing. But before we get there, are you?
Can I make a weird statement about camp and overreacting to things as we were talking about camp?
Yes.
That the most exciting thing about Titans training camp for me right now is waiting to see what the uniforms look like.
Oh, wow.
Like, barring an injury. Like, that's, I'm not excited about an injury, but, like, I don't want to see an injury. That would be the biggest story of Titans camp, right?
But we have, like, a year till the jerseys, right? We have, like, a full year.
Yeah, well, but when do they release it, though?
I don't know.
It's got to come out soon. We all know that they've been changed. We know Amy Adams Strunk has already told everybody in Nashville that the Titans uniform has been changed and that it will be a large change, right? There's going to be a large change.
Do you think they wait till, like, next year and do it?
Yeah, it'll be for next fall, correct?
Right. So we'll have to get all the way through this season and then do it,
before they can sell them?
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, we'll go all the way through this
season. Why not
release
it early? And I just assumed it would be released. It would leak at some point in the next couple of weeks or months.
You would think that at some point Nike would leak it, but at the same time,
okay,
they've been really good about keeping that stuff under wraps. I bet they'll make us go through this whole season.
Okay, let me rephrase that. It's been the most exciting piece out of Titans news. Titans training camp for me.
I will take that.
Because I how good Derrick Henry looks, or Brian Arakpo, or Adoree Jackson, it's all great and everything, but really the games have to start for us to really truly grasp what these players and team is going to look like. I don't really know a whole lot that you can learn a ton about camp. Okay, hey, LaShawn Sims is playing well, great. But when I found out the Titans were doing a total overhaul on their uniforms, I got very excited. I was like, yes, this is a chance for them to rebrand and have a great opportunity. I was excited about that.
Well,
which I realize is silly, but it's true.
No. I think that it all comes from, you know, we've seen the Predators hype from the jerseys. And it's funny because I think that at some point, it felt like a few weeks ago, everybody, you know, the new jersey comes out, everybody flips out, right? But now that we've gotten a couple weeks removed from it, it feels like people have sort of relaxed a little bit about the new jerseys, which, by the way, I happen to like. They're fine.
I saw one in person at the store, and they look a lot better in person than they do like on some weird photo on the internet. So wait to reserve judgment till you see them in person. They look pretty sharp in person.
Well, the new away jerseys are out, and you know, I don't know what I really expected. I don't know that I had real expectations, but obviously focus is on white, and the gold is changed to just the, you know, the bottom of the collar and then the bottoms of the sleeves.
Which used to be blue.
Right.
So they're now it's focusing on the gold a little bit,
right,
which is to be expected.
I don't know. I think maybe because the home jersey is essentially all gold, I kind of wanted the away jersey to be all white. I don't know why, but that was just the...
So if you look at what I did not like about the road unis, the previous iteration, I didn't... So you know how the Miami Hurricanes sort of started the jersey trend in when Nike in the early, late 90s, early 2000s, the Broncos did it too, where they had that weird piping that sort of comes from the shoulder plate down the sideline, down the side. I do not like that about the old Predators road jerseys, and they got rid of that. The blue and the gold little trim there, and the blue at the bottom is now gold at the bottom because they're going essentially more of a two-tone here where it's more... You know, purely gold and purely white. I actually like it. I actually think it looks really good. I like the top shoulder being all gold and the sort of the bottom of the sleeves and the jersey being gold. I think it's a cleaner look. I think there's less, you know, noise going on there from a design standpoint. I actually really like it. I think it turned out really well. And again, want to reserve judgment to see it in person. But I think it's a little simpler, cleaner look, and it's more focused on the gold and the white rather than the blue, even though I love the blue. I think the gold fits with the brand that they're trying to build right now, which is a gold helmet. You know, like, how many teams have gold helmets?
Right.
You know,
right.
Like, that got a lot of pushback, and I'm not a huge fan of the gold helmet, but the gold helmet will look great with these uniforms.
It's more of a reminder.
Sweaters.
Sweaters, yes. It's more of a reminder to me, too, that I really do want to see the Titans come out with something that's just an obnoxious color. Like, because we've become so, like, I love the gold. Like, I've become accepting of it. I don't know. I just wanted something maybe all...
Forge ahead?
Yeah. I wanted something like all white, I
There's
think.
There's no way Forge ahead is better than Stand With Us.
No. I said no about 52 times on that. That was
is
pretty
the Forge
emphatic.
Ahead starting to bother you? Because it, like, it's on billboards everywhere. Forge ahead. Okay. All right.
Yeah, I don't know.
I like Tighten Up.
Tighten Up's been around a long time, though.
That's pretty good. Like, I don't understand why you would want to mix it up.
Well, you know, they have branding and marketing departments in these sports teams.
I get
and
it,
they've
but
come
Tighten
up, with
up
stuff.
Is perfect.
No, I agree. And it still will always be a part of the game, I think. And it's been around. Titan Up's been around forever. Around as part of the theme.
Since
the
get-go.
But Forge Ahead is on billboards everywhere you drive around town. It's on, you know, if you go to the Tennessean and click on a Titans article, it's going to pop up with a buy season tickets, Forge Ahead, with a picture of Mariota. Like, the Forge Ahead thing, I'm not really... Tighten up. I agree with Julian. Tighten up's all you need.
Yeah.
Tighten up.
Forge Ahead doesn't, you know, it feels a little bit too... I expect that to be somewhere
It's too
in,
corporate marketing.
Yeah. Or Captain Ryan Ellis. I expect it to be, like, on the Captain Ryan Ellis Twitter page. No discredit to... It just doesn't... It doesn't
they're
hit me.
They're wonderful people over there doing wonderful work at the Titans.
I mean, Stand With Us is sort of like, I don't know, it's a moment that brings everybody together. It feels like, I think there was a little bit of an underdog mentality that sort of grew Stand With Us together.
And during the TV timeouts, we all stand.
Right. So Stand With Us makes a bunch of sense. Forge Ahead.
Forge Ahead.
Yeah, I don't know how you, like, what do you do in the stadium that goes with Forge Ahead?
When you're in line at a bad concession stand, just hang in there. Forge ahead. You'll get there eventually, and you'll get to order your soda and your dog.
Every time they you move up one spot in the concession line, you get to scream
all cheer.
Forge ahead! And then, hey, Batty, we're forging ahead! It just doesn't work. It doesn't work for me. I don't know.
So you're anti-new Preds Road Uni?
I'm not anti. I just...
I like them. I think they look very clean. Very simple. I like eliminating all the piping. I'm not a fan of piping in general. On uniforms?
I was a big fan of the new home jerseys. I don't know what it is.
They got rid of piping.
And I don't know what it is on the new away jersey. It just it didn't hit me.
I'm a big fan.
Okay.
I'm a big fan.
Well, so. I know you're not a big jersey guy in general, but
No, but I did promise a friend's son of mine for his bar mitzvah to I'll get him a Preds jersey.
But not you. If you were buying a jersey, would you buy the home one or the away one? Because I would buy the home.
I would go, it's a tough call. Well, I already have the home one, in theory. So
but you have the
I'd
old
probably,
home.
Yeah, I've always been a fan of the white uniform. The home uni has been always better, in my opinion. But that's for, like, regular everyday use. If you're going to the game at Fort Bridgestone, then you need... The gold is why you go to Fort Bridgestone now.
So. Interesting thing for me is I've always been with you. I've always been the white uni guy. Like, I prefer the road uni. But on the new ones, I prefer the
home. Well, what's really interesting is from sport to sport, and I'm assuming people know this, but maybe not, that every sport has a different rule. Like basketball, your white uniform is your home uniform. So in college basketball and NBA, your home uniform is the white uniform. Well, in the NFL, it's the opposite, unless you're, of course, the Dallas Cowboys. Where in your team colors is your home uniform. Same with hockey. It's just very interesting that it's different from sport to sport. Baseball, white is your home uniform, and then either color or gray or whatever is your road uniform. I just don't know why it's different from sport to sport. It's very interesting to me.
It's also interesting and
nobody else.
Don't forget that the NFL, they let you pick each week whether or not you choose at home to wear your home's or you're away. So while you're the Titans, obviously the blue is their home, the white is their away. Week one, I will guarantee you they will pick the away jersey because it forces the Raiders to wear the black in the heat, which is what
you think so.
Same thing the Dolphins do every time they play a September game. If you've got
so if I'm a Packers fan or a Titans fan and the Cowboys are coming to town, how do you force them to wear the one they never wear?
You would have to wear the opposite color.
You have to wear white.
Yeah, you'd have
to
wear white.
So the Titans pick their road uniform, and the Cowboys come to town. The Cowboys have to wear the dark blue that you've never seen in your life.
Yeah.
Because they just never
or
wear
whatever,
it.
Or whatever their signature home jersey is. Yeah, whatever their...
Well, but their home jersey is the white uniform.
And what's their away jersey?
Dark blue. Exactly. No one's ever seen it. Like, I want to make them wear the dark blue.
That's interesting. For the Raiders, for example, you have to wear the blacks or the whites. Those are the only choices you have. So every year that the Raiders have ever played Miami in September, Miami chooses at home to wear their aways, which forces the Raiders to wear the black. Thought being, it's so freaking hot that it's going to be an advantage.
I would do that if I'm Miami for every game.
Yeah, I'm surprised they don't. And I would not be surprised if the Titans do that going into week one, just because if it's muggy and gross and disgusting – then
Seahawks too. They could be wearing dark uniforms.
Oh yeah, force it. You totally force it. That's a part of the home field advantage. Air
gamesmanship.
Quotes. Yeah. Speaking of gamesmanship in Miami, did they just make themselves a playoff competitor? Does it affect the Titans? Are you worried about what the wild card race looks like because they signed a quarterback? And it's somebody that Nashville knows very, very well. We'll break it down next. Braden and Fitz, ESPN 102.5, The Game. I'm blue. He's Braden Gull. I'm Jason Fitz. Julian Council producing. My favorite part about the music is watching Julian Council look at us and then start dancing with every one of them today.
Is this an SNL themed show or something? I don't know.
It's a Buck Rising doesn't know who Chris Pratt is, and I'm very disgusted. Now I'm going to play dance music to make me happy.
Is that an actor?
Wow.
Did you not watch Parks and Rec? You didn't watch Parks and Rec?
I know Chris Pratt is. He was in True Detective Season 2, I believe.
Sure.
Smashville, don't miss the Nashville Predators' first ever fishing tournament. Benefits the Nashville Predators Foundation Friday, August 11th, Saturday, August 12th. Sign your team up, NashvillePredators.com. Do it today. You're listening to Braden and Fitz live from the Game Nashville Studios, presented by Wholesale Link and Mount Juliet. And there's a quarterback now from Vandy continuing to get a little work. So 1 year, $10 million bucks. Vanderbilt's own Jay Cutler is now presumably the starting quarterback for the Miami Dolphins. I will say this. The Dolphins are a team some expect to take a step back. If I'm a Dolphins fan, I feel better about having Jay Cutler there than not having Jay Cutler there. But let me ask you this, in all seriousness, because Julian makes the point that Cutler doesn't make it through a season healthy. He doesn't play all 16 games. At some point, in theory, they're likely to need Matt Moore. If I'm Matt Moore, and I get that he's made $26 million as a backup quarterback, that's fine. But the competitive nature of a guy, if I'm Matt Moore, there's going to be a time this year where you're going to call on me. I'm going to put my helmet on and look around and be like, oh, so now you want me? Like, this is the moment where now suddenly you want me? I mean, there's got to be a little bit of a locker room moment for Matt Moore where he comes in and says, I'm not sure I want to be here, right?
Oh, I don't know about that. I think it's very different between college and pro when you have a quarterback A versus quarterback B in a quarterback battle, right? Both quarterbacks are highly touted, both big-time recruits, right? Quarterback B loses the quarterback battle and immediately transfers to go play because you have a very limited amount of time in the college world to prove your value to the NFL scouts and to get starting time before your career for most of them ends and or potentially trying to earn money in the NFL. In the NFL, I think it's different. If you know that you have more self-aware, you're more mature, you're more of an adult, you're more able to handle things like, yeah, you're going to be a backup. I think you're just – it's a different vibe where if you lose the starting job and you feel like a team doesn't necessarily think you're capable – that you just take your ball and go home. No. There's only so many jobs in the NFL. You don't normally turn down a paycheck. And so I think if he thinks he can start somewhere else, then let the agent do his work and try to get him a gig somewhere else. But I think the professionalism of the sport requires you, especially in a league where there are only really 64 roster spots. I mean, there's a practice squad spot for most third team quarterbacks. Very rarely do teams carry three active quarterbacks on a Sunday. A lot of times it's just the two. So you're talking about a job, an industry where there are 64 jobs in the entire right. active NFL world. If you've got one of them and you're making millions of dollars to do it, my thought is that most of them are capable of putting their ego aside to handle that. Now, some of them aren't, obviously, but not a guy like Matt Moore, who's never been a longtime NFL starter. To talk about the locker room situation, I think Cutler could do more damage than Matt Moore in this situation. If Cutler comes in and is this laissez-faire sort of don't really care about this, I'm just here to sort of like make a paycheck and maybe win a couple games. You know what I mean? Like if Cutler comes in and is like busting his tail and trying to be a good teammate and doing all the things that he's never really ever done before, then that makes Matt Moore's job a little easier to just sort of be, all right, I'm going to be the backup. I'm going to handle this. If he comes in being a complete bozo and just a jerk to everybody and all this stuff, then Matt Moore is probably more angry about it and saying, you know what, I'm a better locker room guy. The team likes me more. Why did you go with this other guy? I want out. And so I don't know. I don't know if he's good enough to go get a job somewhere else. I mean, I think Cody Kessler's a much better quarterback than Matt Moore, and Cody Kessler's a Browns quarterback.
Well, and I don't think he's good enough to start somewhere else, but several different people have written articles in the last 4 or 5 days painting him as one of the top 5 or 6 backups in the NFL. And he makes a whopping $2 million a year. So if you sit there and you're one of the top five backups in the league and you're making $2 million bucks a year. And
until
now
when? When is his contract?
This is the last year of his contract. He's unrestricted after this year. So he's 32 also, sneaky old. But you know, you look at it and say, for his from his standpoint, now you finally you're needed. And I don't even know if you think you can start. It's just that, like, hey, they need me, and then all of a sudden, like, well, nah, no, we'll be
but
fine.
But do you blame a team for going and signing Jay Cutler?
No.
Over Matt Moore, like, no. I just don't see how you can reasonably make be angry about
that.
I don't.
But the guys that cover the Dolphins, I mean, I have yet to find a beat writer or an NFL Nation guy around the Dolphins that think that Matt Moore couldn't have handled the job. And so, if that's the case, there's got to be some kick in the no-no places to Matt, right? I mean, that's just sort of a human nature.
I get what you're saying, and I totally agree with it. I think that there's more self, because, again, the reason I compared it to college football is that I don't think any backup quarterback in college football has any self-awareness. I think they all think they should start, and that's why they transfer all the time. The quarterback loses a starting job. Oh, I'm going to go someplace else and play because I want to play, man. And in college, there's 130 spots to go play. There's four times as many jobs, and the level of expectation is significantly lower. In the NFL, I think it's different. You're a 32-year-old professional making $2 million. That how much longer do you get that opportunity? Well, the more you just kind of do what you're told, the better opportunity you're going to have. Does he think this is his last shot at being a starting quarterback in the NFL? I can't fault the guy for feeling that way. Like, if that's how he feels, then that's fine, and I understand that, and that's, hey, human element. Let him feel that way. But it's hard for me to justify feeling like I'm better than Jay Cutler, even though Jay Cutler's not particularly great. He's clearly better than Matt Moore, and I don't know if Matt Moore goes and starts anyway. Could he be the starting quarterback for the Jets? Maybe.
And again, I don't think it's about wanting to start. I think it's just about wanting to be somewhere as a backup where you don't feel like the team has to panic if you get in the game. I mean, that's sort of that's the opposite of a vote of confidence. Hey, you're our backup, and Ryan Tannehill may not be gone for the season. We may be able to rehab this knee. We may know what's going on. So let's relax and figure out, like, Before we do anything hasty, we want to take a look at everything. That's sort of the opposite of what the Dolphins have done here.
Does it tell you that maybe all of that they know about Ryan Tannehill, that he's done?
Well, it possibly.
Like, to give Jay Cutler $10 million strikes me as we know we've got a problem.
And that's very possible.
And if you're Matt Moore, Jay Cutler's a one-year deal. Ryan Tannehill, you've talked about this contract. They could walk away. Maybe Matt Moore, if he is the good employee and does the good job as being the good backup, maybe he's in line to get a bigger role and a bigger paycheck next year for the Dolphins.
Yeah.
Because they don't know what the future holds for that position. So there's a lot of interesting angles here for a backup quarterback. But do I think Jay Cutler gives the Dolphins the best chance to win the most games this year of any of the other options? I still think the answer is yes.
And that's that's interesting because my mind's telling me no. My mind wants to say yes because I always think of the talent that Cutler has. But the other side of it is I continue to hear guys around the team say Matt Moore was ready for it. So I don't know. We'll get Tom Waddle's thoughts on it, ESPN NFL analyst, and of course ESPN 1000 in Chicago. Tom going to join
Winnie
us
City
next.
And Winnie City Intern's idol.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll get Waddle's thoughts on all things Cutler, but also all things Titans. We'll do that next up. Braden and Fitz, ESPN 102.5 The Game.